How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Wrestling Radio. As always, whether you like it or not, I am your host, Dirt. Today we're talking about Monday Night Raw, that of course happened last night. And some people, they sent me emails going, hey, what happened to the SmackDown recap show? There was no SmackDown recap show for SmackDown on Friday. And there's a very simple explanation for that. It's called Christmas. And I didn't say, well, hey, it's Christmas, I'm not going to do it. It was more like one of those things where sometime on Saturday, I was going about my business, just kind of doing my thing, and it suddenly struck me that SmackDown had been on the night before, and I had completely missed it. You know, just caught up in the holidays. There was no plan to skip SmackDown. It just happened, which... you know, it kind of makes me wonder how many people that happened with. You know, just your casual viewers out there, how many of them actually did not tune in to the show. But, I completely spaced on it, completely forgot. Just one of those, you know, Christmas things with all the Christmas stuff going on. And, yeah, so there you go. I still haven't seen it. I don't know if I'll probably get around to watching it maybe tomorrow night. But, you know, no, I still haven't seen it, and so that's what's up with that. Other news and notes, stuff going on right now. You know, I've been asking for feedback, of course, always I ask for feedback, and I gave out the voicemail line. And Chris Vent, the host of the Masters of the Universe Chronicles podcast, thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network, He was nice enough to call in, and he left us a nice little voicemail of what he thought about Raw and just kind of wrestling in general. And so I'm going to go ahead and play that now, and then when it's done, we'll get into the recap. But let's listen to what Chris Vent has to say.
Hi there, this is Chris Vent, a.k.a. Ventuma. I'm just leaving a message just for the wrestling radio show that Dirt hosts. He asked me to leave a voicemail about things that are wrong with wrestling. I asked him how long he had. WWE has certainly gone downhill as of late. Whenever they introduced this guest host of Raw was particularly awful, in my opinion. The only one who was actually any way decent was Ted DiBiase Sr., in my opinion. I don't understand why they're still doing this concept whenever it's not working. There's a lot of people that, like last ones, somebody, Damon, I think it was. It was insignificant. I have no idea who it was. People outside the US don't actually know who they are. TNA, for me, is the far better wrestling program at the moment. SmackDown is still good. I just hope they don't actually tinker with that and decide to use a guest host to muck things up. Whenever you get people saying, here's the show, Triple H, Summerfest by Jeremy Piven, things like that, whenever they've said they're wrestling fans so for so many years, that's rubbish, really. Get people on the show who know about wrestling. Why don't they even get a fan or something like that to do it? In my opinion, WWE needs to turn the corner and start putting Raw back on the map. That's just my two cents anyway. You could agree, you could disagree. It'd be pretty boring if we all thought the same way, but there you go. That's my thoughts on that anyway. Thanks, and thanks, Dirt, for keeping me updated on the Raw. Unfortunately, I'm sorry you have to watch it, but thanks for keeping me updated on it anyway. Thanks very much, and Happy New Year to you.
I think if there's anything I'm going to disagree with, it's going to be that I believe you were worked by Triple H and Dennis Miller. I still believe that that whole the show, Triple H, and Dennis Milberg, that whole exchange, I'm still placing my eggs in that it was worked, and you've been worked by it. But, you know, it's one of those funny things about the whole guest spot thing. You know, you're right that a lot of times it doesn't work, and I think tonight Timberland was a great example of that. The guy was stoned through half the show. He just looked out of it. And, you know, the only way really to, you know, to solve the problem is to just stop doing it. And that's something that I don't think, even though it makes sense, WWE is going to give up on the concept because they feel that rubbing elbows with celebrity really helps sell the product. And in a sense, it does. But in a sense, it really kind of hurts the viewership when you see people on there who really, honestly, don't have a clue of what's going on. Timbaland himself, he is a fan. He used the Divas, of course, in that music video last year or whatever. So he at least had an idea of what was going on. But again, he just came off as stoned. Really, I don't want to say he was completely uncharismatic, because I think he has a certain level of charisma, but he was just not energized like I have seen him before, and I'm, you know, again, pegging that on being high. But let's go ahead and get into what was going on in Monday Night Raw. Opened up with Chris Jericho standing outside the building. He had a microphone. He was holding a sign that said, like, stop the Jericho embargo or something like that. Basically, he said he felt bad about how the children were being raised, how America was turning out, because he is not on Raw. He has been banned from Raw. He thinks it's unfair. He needed people to sign his petition to get him back on Raw, and of course nobody would sign it. And this was a gimmick they went back to several times. They go inside, do the opening, whatever. They do a graphic on the screen. They're talking about how tonight we're going to get Vince McMahon addressing the rumors about Bret Hart. They also announced that the main event is going to be Sheamus versus John Cena. So good stuff there all around, I guess. But, you know, doing the whole announcement thing, Vince is going to come out and make an announcement, that really, to me, had an old-school Raw feel to it, and I enjoyed that. There was actually quite a bit on the show that made me feel more like an old-school Raw. You know, we've been sitting at work recently watching Raws and pay-per-views from 97, 98, that kind of stuff, and tonight's show did have a little more of that feel to it because of the way they did some things. So I'm going to say, all in all, it was a thumbs-up show, even though in many ways the show felt like it went on too long and tried to do a little too much here and there. But I felt much better about this Raw than a lot of the Raws recently. They had John Cena come out to the ring, and he basically said that he wanted his rematch with Sheamus. He wanted another tables match. He set up a table in the ring, and he wanted the match to start right now. So Sheamus' music hit. He came down to the ring. He basically said, you know, I'm the champion, you're the challenger, you don't get to make the call, we get to make the call as champion. So therefore, we are not going to have a tables match. He said, I've already beaten you in a tables match, now I have to beat you one-on-one to really prove myself. And he turned to walk away. Cena grabbed him, hooked him up for the attitude adjustment, and dropped him through the table. So, nice segment, actually. I enjoyed this. A, it did not go on for 40 minutes. B, it had a payoff at the end of the actual segment with putting Sheamus through the table. And C, it actually led into an encounter later on in the show. Let me try to pronounce that again, because I stumbled on my words. It led to an encounter later on in the show. So, you know, all in all, I felt that, you know, this segment worked, and it helped to weave a storyline throughout the episode. Let's see here. They talked about how Matt Hardy and Evan Bourne will be on ECW tomorrow night. What they didn't announce, I think they announced on WWE.com later, is that Tommy Dreamer will actually be on ECW tonight. It's the last episode of 2009. He has told people, of course, that he is retiring. You know, it's no big secret or whatever. So apparently he's going to go in tonight, ask for his release, you know, on television. They're going to do a storyline about it. He'll wrestle his last match on the last episode of ECW in 2009. I'm guessing, and he's also the last original. If you think about the ECW originals, they did that whole gimmick a while ago. He's the last ECW guy still on ECW. So, my guess is going to be that he's going to ask for a title match versus Christian, and he'll get the match, he'll lose it, he'll thank the fans, and he'll be on his merry way. There's always the possibility they could swerve us and he wins the title, but I just don't see that happening. Go to commercial, come back, and Timbaland is backstage, just recently gotten high. He's there with the Bella Twins and Gail Kim, and it's funny because the camera fades in on him, and he's staring directly at it. He's staring directly at it in the way that you are never supposed to do unless you're actually addressing it. And he just looked like he was waiting for his cue, and they said, go. And he just stared at it, go, 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 and suddenly he, like, looks away. And the girls start acting. So really, just kind of, awkward. But anyway, Josh Matthews said, you know, are you going to cancel the match between Cena and Sheamus because Cena just put Sheamus through the table? And Timbaland said, no, it's the match of the century. People want to see the match. It's going to go on. They showed Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase backstage talking about the new DVD of The Marine 2. Basically, Ted said he could afford a Blu-ray player, so he'll buy one for Cody. They walked up to Orton, who was sitting in a chair, and he just looked like, I don't know, like someone had just run over his cat. They said, you know, what's wrong? And he said, you know what? It's just time to end Legacy. You know, you guys... you know, last week we had a tag match against three guys who had never teamed up before, and they beat us. You know, am I the champion? No. Are you guys the tag champions? No. It's time to just end the whole thing and forget about it. And, you know, basically the two of them, DiBiase and Rhodes, basically got in his face and said, you know, we saved your ass so many times. There are so many times you would not have been champion if it wasn't for us. You owe us... We saved you, and so Orton says, you know what, I've set up some matches, you guys wrestle these matches, if you guys win, then you can stay with Legacy, if you guys lose, then it's all over. So, they asked, you know, what are the matches? So, Ted DiBiase will wrestle Evan Bourne, and Cody Rhodes will wrestle Mark Henry. If either of them lose, not only are they out of Legacy, but Orton will give them a beatdown. So, kind of an amusing little system altogether, with all that stuff. I wasn't quite sure what to expect out of this, and they did put something in here that you may have missed, but, we'll get to that when we get there. Go to commercial, they come back, Jericho's outside, still picketing with his Stop the Jericho Embargo sign, still trying to get people to sign his petition, and no one's going to do that. Let's see here. Orton is sitting at ringside, and since, DiBiase is going to be wrestling next, and then Cody Rhodes, so he's sitting out there to watch them. DiBiase comes down, Bourne comes down, they had a fine little match. It was nothing spectacular, but it was still fun. It was, botch one spot. I'm trying to remember, where exactly it was, but anyway, short little match. I mean, it went like a minute or whatever. But it was fine, and so he wins, and Orton kind of looks at him like, ah, crap, he won. Like, I was really hoping, you know, I was hoping he would lose, whether or not he wanted to beat the crap out of DiBiase or just wanted to end Legacy or whatever the deal was, but he did not look happy. They had Cody Rhodes come out after the commercial break. He wrestled Mark Henry. Basically, you know, Mark Henry was just beating the crap out of Cody Rhodes. He threw him onto the second rope, almost like a 619 type position, and Mark Henry went to do a splash, like a sitting splash on his back, but he slides to the outside and lands on his knee, and he pretends like his knee is hurt. So he climbs back in the ring, and Cody, hits the leg, hits a quick DDT on Mark Henry, and gets the pin. So Orton actually looks happy that Cody Rhodes beat Mark Henry and, goes up, smiles him, pats him on the back. He's like, yo, you little slugger, good job. So I'm guessing the excuse that they're going to come out of this is that DiBiase should have beat Evan Bourne much more quickly than he did, and he's going to use that as an excuse against DiBiase, whereas Rhodes fought... basically an unbeatable opponent in Mark Henry and was able to take him out. and used his brain to, you know, use the injury against him. So I'm guessing they're going to play off something like that in the next weeks in order to break him up. But definitely, you can see seeds of the breakup continuing here. Let's see. Go to commercial, come back. They show Orton and Cody walking around backstage looking all happy. No DiBiase there. They showed Jillian trying to get into the Timbaland dressing room, trying to get a job as a singer, but Gail Kim was there, and she said she was not going to allow Jillian to get back there. They pan, and they show Triple H with Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle's wearing a helmet, and Triple H is duct-taping his chest to a skateboard. And Sean comes running in, and he's like, what are you doing? And Triple H says, well, I'm doing what anyone does with a brand new midget. I'm tying him to a skateboard, see how far he goes. Triple H says that Sean was upset that he had him all week and couldn't figure out what to do with him, and now Triple H has him and finally thought up of a stunt. And he said, you know, the midget doesn't care, whatever. They went on and on. Sean started to get serious, and he said there was something about Vince McMahon and Bret Hart that was bothering him. Triple H said, don't get involved in anything having to do with Vince. Trust me. You know, the last time you did, you two had to, you know, wrestle at WrestleMania. And, as Sean was thinking about it, Triple H grabbed Hornswoggle and tossed him across the ground on the skateboard. He ran into Jillian, who fell backwards into a box while she was trying to sing. And, Gail Kim was laughing with Hornswoggle. So, you know, funny segment. They did the whole Sean, you know, talking about Bret Hart here to start that off. So that's what I wanted to see. The stuff with Hornswoggle, I don't really care about, but they kept it kind of short. It was, you know, kind of funny. So at least it wasn't a 20-minute segment. It wasn't a segment that they left and came back to, you know, one of those type of deals. So all in all, I wasn't real hot on it, but I didn't particularly hate it either. They then announced that Big Show will be getting a tag match versus DX with a partner of his choosing later tonight. And then they also said that Kofi Kingston would face The Miz in a non-title match. And if Kofi wins, he will receive a United States Championship match versus The Miz at some point in the future. They did Maryse versus Kelly Kelly. They did a two-minute match. Maryse hit the DDT to beat Kelly. It was fine. Nothing spectacular, nothing terrible, you know, it just what it was. After the match, Maryse grabbed the mic and talked about how she would be the next Divas champion, and she said something in French and laughed. I don't know. It was nothing really spectacular, but it was nothing terrible either. Let's see. They show Vince McMahon getting ready to walk out to the ring to cut his promo next, and they go to commercial. Come back, and there's conspiracy victim Chris Jericho sitting outside with, in fact, a giant conspiracy victim sign with an arrow pointing down to his head. Big Show walked in, and Jericho's like, you gotta get me in there, and Big Show's like, you know, I can't, I'm a Raw guy, you're a SmackDown guy, it was never gonna work out, it's a long-distance relationship. You know, he talks about how he's got a tag match tonight, and he's like, well, you found someone new? And he's like, well, you know, I got another partner, you know. And they had just, like, this really awkward, you know, bromance breakup here. But Big Show said he had something for Jericho, pulled out an envelope, and handed it to him. And Jericho kind of opened it up, looked at it, and smiled, and Big Show was already gone, walking off into the building. So kind of a fun little segment there. I really enjoyed watching that. And again, the whole Jericho protesting outside, all the clips together was maybe about a minute, you know, maybe 2 minutes. I don't know. It wasn't a whole lot, but they kept going back to it. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that they kept weaving that throughout the show. Even though it didn't add up to anything big in the overall scheme of the show, it was nice. All right, Vince came out to the ring, and he was talking about, you know, Bret Hart and how he was once the biggest superstar in WWE history. He said, you know, he's here to talk about Bret Hart being the special guest host next week. He said, for you younger fans, here's an unbiased history of Bret Hart. They showed a video of Bret and how good of a how big of a star he was, how over he was. Then they started to show him, the pro-Canadian angle that was going on. They showed, finally, Montreal and the screw job. And they showed, Vince talking about how Brett screwed Brett, and this was Brett's own fault that all of this happened. And, you know, honestly, I know people are going to hate me for this, but I side with Vince on that. You know, walking out of the company, you call yourself a professional, drop the title. I don't care if you don't like the guy. You know, I don't care what the guy's done to you. I let my mortal enemy, Danger Doug Frazier, cut off my ponytail at the November Rain wrestling show a couple years ago because it made sense for the storyline, and it worked for the fans. It was a huge pop for the fans. I'm not going to sit here and, talk bad, whatever, but he and I do not see eye to eye, do not get along, try to have as little to do with each other as possible, but yet you work things out. And if you're a professional, you do what's best for the profession and not what's best for you. So, anyway. So they came back to Vince, and he said he was the better man. He inducted Brett into the Hall of Fame. Fans kept doing the what? And so Vince basically said, you guys are idiots for doing that. But anyway, he said, next week's guest host will be, and he stopped himself. He tried it again. He couldn't do it. He finally said, Bret Hart will never be the guest host of Monday Night Raw. He starts to leave, and Shawn Michaels' music hits. He came out, and he said, sometimes there are rivalries that are bigger than the business. Sometimes you just have to face what's going on. There are things that you cannot overlook, just because they don't seem to work for you. And Vince goes, I know, you're talking about Bret Hart and your rivalry with him. And Shawn goes, no, I'm talking about The Undertaker. He's like, I want The Undertaker in a rematch at WrestleMania. And Vince said, I'm not going to make that match. You want that match? You make it happen. So I'm guessing Shawn's going to make an appearance on SmackDown sometime in the next month or so to, lay out the challenge directly to The Undertaker. Shawn stopped Vince on his way out and said, you should bring back Brett and close that chapter in your life. And he looked Vince right in the eye and said, if you bring back Brett, only good things will happen. And Vince kind of gave him this look and talked about people he's not afraid of, but said, since you say that if I bring Brett back, only good things will happen, next week Bret Hart will be the guest host on Monday Night Raw. And that was the wrap-up of that segment. It was a nice video, a nice little promo section. I really had no problems with the way they laid it out, the way they, talked about the rivalry, kind of touched on all the stuff that happened, the screw job, everything like that. So not a problem. I enjoyed it. They had Josh Matthews backstage interviewing John Cena. He's asking him some sort of question, and then all of a sudden Sheamus came out and attacked Cena, beat the crap out of him. Go to commercial, we come back, and it's the Divas backstage with Timbaland and now MVP. Kofi Kingston came in, and he said, thank you for the shot at The Miz. Miz beat me for the title. I want my rematch. And MVP said, if you beat him for the title, then I want the first shot after that. And, Kofi and MVP shook hands, and they said, yep. Miz came in and said, you know what? I'm still going to be the champion a year from now. You guys can't beat me. Miz then started to berate Gail Kim. Timbaland basically stopped him and said, you know what, if you lose to Kofi tonight in a non-title match, then your title match will happen directly after that. So basically, if you count two falls, the first fall, if Kofi wins, is the non-title. The second fall, then, if Kofi wins, he can win the championship. So that was kind of a fun little throwing the twist right there on the match as part of the show. I thought it was a nice way to get the guest host involved, even though he still looked stoned at this point. Before maybe he was actually high, and now he was stoned. However you want to look at that, but again, this segment just kind of adding excitement to that match. It's like I don't really want to see Kofi Kingston wrestle The Miz because it seems like such a step backwards for Kofi. But, they're hinting at Kofi versus MVP in the series for the title. I'm fine with that. And then they, you know, just suddenly make it where he can get his title shot tonight, adds a level of excitement to it, and suddenly it's like, okay, well, now I'm looking forward to this match because I want to see Kofi beat him, get the title back. I would lose out later, but, you know, we'll get there. Let's see. They talked about Bret Hart making his first live appearance on WWE television in 12 years. They talked again that it'll be Sheamus versus Cena tonight, your pay-per-view rematch, basically. Miz and Kofi Kingston both came out, and Kofi Kingston basically beat The Miz early on. Less than a minute, Miz went up to the top rope, tried to do some sort of move, and Kofi caught him, hit the Trouble in Paradise, got the three count. So they made it real short, so it's like, okay, now that that's out of the way, now we get the title match. So I'm thinking, now we can get a nice, you know, 7-8 minute match, Kofi can win the title, and all will be right with the world. Instead, after about a minute and a half, Kofi was getting ready to pin The Miz, basically he hit the Trouble in Paradise, was going for the pin, and Randy Orton ran down, pulled him out of the ring, and beat the crap out of him. Threw him into the ring, hit him on the ring post, hit the RKO, and then stood there and, you know, soaked it all in, everything he had done, did that crazy kind of stalker psycho thing. So, as much as I would like to see Kofi win the United States Champion and do a program with MVP, at least it looks like they haven't given up on Kofi and Randy Orton, and they're going to have that feud continue. So whether or not this continues into something in WrestleMania, you know, we don't know, but it looks like at least heading into the Rumble, they're going to have another match. And so I'll definitely look forward to seeing that on the Rumble. You know, the Rumble is actually one of the two pay-per-views I actually look for in the year. The Rumble, I just love for whatever reason, and then, of course, WrestleMania. So Rumble's looking to be really good again this year. All right, where are we at? Let's see. Go to a commercial. They came back. DX was, they had done their entrance before the commercial, whatever, so he came back. Chris Jericho walks down and sits in the crowd, shows off his front row ticket, and so this is, again, something that felt really like the early days of Raw when they would do this kind of stuff. Jericho, you know, they're like, Jericho, you have to get out of here. No, 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 he's got a ticket. He's got his spot. It's a gimmick that they haven't done a whole lot anywhere, really, in a long time. So kind of fun to throw that in there. And they have Big Show come out, and Big Show's partner is Chavo Guerrero. I mean, if I thought this would elevate Chavo, great, but I knew that suddenly he was going to be the throwaway guy here, because this is DX, so Hornswoggle is now part of DX, and so I saw Chavo come out, and I just thought, great, now we're going to see Chavo get humbled by the midget again. So, they basically, they have their little match, and, Chavo basically got up in the ring corner at one point, climbed up. He called Big Show over. Big Show stood in front of the turnbuckles, and Chavo climbed up onto his shoulders, tried to do a frog splash, and he missed. Shawn Michaels tumbled Big Show to the outside. Hornswoggle came running in. He kicked Chavo, which set Chavo up for the pedigree from Triple H. So I guess Triple H couldn't get a pedigree on Chavo without the midget getting involved. So either the midget is that good for DX, or Triple H is suddenly that bad against Chavo Guerrero. I'm not sure. But Jericho jumped over the railing to help out Big Show, who was on the outside with Shawn, and Shawn turned, hit him with the Sweet Chin Music. Triple H grabbed the microphone and said he's sick of all this stuff with Big Show and Jericho. He said, fine, you're going to be a rematch. I'm sorry, you're going to get a rematch, but this time it will be for good, Jericho. If you lose, you're off Raw forever, no matter what. So this is the big, you know, we meant it before, but it didn't stick, so now we're going to do it again, and we really mean it this time. Which seems kind of silly, but in a sense, I think it kind of works here. With the whole Jericho thing, because in essence, even though Jericho was banned from the show, everything he did to get back on the show all fit within the storyline. So, yes, it's kind of silly that he loses at the pay-per-view, so he loses the ability to be on Raw, and the next night he was back, and he's been back every week. But it's kind of interesting that they actually had something in mind all along when they set this thing up, and they followed through on it, and it's actually entertaining. So, pretty happy with Raw altogether tonight. Again, you know, not a barn burner, not the greatest show ever, but really felt like what they used to do back in the old days that I enjoyed so much, and I was kind of happy to have some of that stuff shining through here again. So, good show altogether. Definitely made me think more positively towards the pay-per-view, and glad to see that there are wheels in motion for things that they're planning on doing down the road. You know, it's they have plans, they're thinking things through, and it's nice to see that, you know, because you rarely see that. But the but that kind of stuff was nice. You know what? I did the same thing right now that I did last night. Last night when I was watching Raw, after Jericho and Big Show ended, I thought, oh, that's the end of the show. Thank you for that. I totally forgot that there was the Sheamus-Cena match, and right now, doing my recap, I totally forgot about the Sheamus and Cena rematch on the show tonight. So, that tells you how much I'm really into their feud. So, they go to commercial after doing the whole Jericho thing. They come back, and they introduce Timbaland, who came down to the ring with some of the divas, and he was wearing a big John Cena shirt, and he got in the ring, and he tried to pump up the crowd, but again, he still looked like he was stoned or high, or drunk, maybe, I don't know. But he did the introductions. He called out John Cena. He called out Sheamus. They came down to the ring. They had basically a fine little match. They were doing all right. It was a little less than 2.5 minutes. But they were doing all right in this match, and suddenly Sheamus reached out, grabbed the referee, and pulled him down. And the referee called for the bell, disqualified Sheamus. That was the end of the match by DQ. Sheamus grabbed his belt and tried to run away, but Cena jumped out and grabbed him, threw him back into the ring. And when Cena climbs in the ring, Sheamus hits that big kick to the face. And Sheamus celebrated by standing over John Cena and showing off his title. So, you know, again, they need to stop doing these matches that they're calling these big main event matches and then having them go 2.5 minutes. If you want to have a guy beat somebody by disqualification, don't do it in 2 minutes. Let them have a big 10-minute match, 12-minute match, and right as it's really getting hot and exciting, then have your heel pull for the DQ, get tremendous, tremendous heat, and have people begging the face to beat the crap out of them. This, I just don't think it worked that well. It just felt kind of throwaway. It was just kind of, well, you know what, we have to kill time. And so that's what they did here. But it is funny because Sheamus basically did, to John Cena what DX did to Big Show and Jericho, going for that cheap DQ to get out of having to do the match. And so, at least it was smart in that regard, where it showed that, you know, if the faces do it, then the heels can do it too. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening. That's going to wrap it up for today. I will be watching SmackDown this week. I know it's New Year's and whatever, but New Year's, I've got 2 kids. I don't go out on New Year's. You know what I mean? So, I will be watching SmackDown. We will be back on Friday for the SmackDown recap, and hopefully you will be listening to it on the Pop Culture Network, our new website we are working on. We should have it up and running by the first of the year, so you can look forward to that. And again, thanks for Chris Event for calling in. Any of you guys who are listening, if you want to call in, We appreciate that. We ask for it. We have a voicemail line. It is area code 217-953-4025. And if you're on Skype, you can just Skype me. Dirt Mound. That's my username. Dirt Mound. And so, you can leave us a voicemail just like Chris Vint did. We'll throw it in the show. And get your comments out there. And, you know, if I get enough voicemails, we'll just start doing a voicemail segment on the show. You know, I'll put a half hour worth of voicemails on there if you guys are calling in. There is a 10-minute limit on leaving your messages, but, you know, be more than happy to throw your voicemails out there and get people talking. So don't forget, check us out, VGLosers.com. Plenty of other podcasts, MMA, fantasy football, which will be turning into an all-sports show here after fantasy football ends. Also, don't forget to go to our sister site, ThatNewToySmell.com, with the That New Toy Smell show every Saturday. There's also the It Figures podcast. There's also Chris Vint's Masters of the Universe Chronicles over there. And also Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. Did I say it right? Yeah, Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. Yes! I got it right this time. And so check out that column every week, taking a look at one of the classic Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles figures. Plenty of great photos. That's what makes it so wonderful, is that, I mean, yeah, he writes stuff, and, you know, you can read it, but I like looking at pictures. I'm a visual type guy, so that's why I have a hot wife. So got to be visual. Lots of great pictures that he throws in on there. So great stuff altogether. Thanks for checking us out, guys, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
God. Hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Me and the girls are playing, and we just can't find
some competition.